the Nobel Committee for Literature, but I'd like to share a bit of a book authored by Bill O'Reilly entitled Those Who Trespass. And I quote, "Ashley was now wearing only brief white panties. She had signaled her desire by removing her shirt and skirt and by leaning back on the couch. She closed her eyes, concentrating on nothing but Shannon's tongue and lips. He gently teased her by licking the areas around her most sensitive erogenous zone. Then he slipped her panties down her legs, and within seconds, his tongue was inside her, moving rapidly." Unquote. Or as House Judiciary Committee Chairman Henry Hyde, Republican from Illinois, used to call it during his 7 years of adultery, "Practicing my oral arguments." Thank you to Al Franken for providing this sample, this taste, if you will, of Mr. O'Reilly's work.
So when we last were talking about the Hawaii trip report, we had just got done with the room we got in the tropical jungle in a small town called Hana. And you know, a possible complaint one might have about a place called, I think Hawaii is all high Democrats, is what I'm thinking there. Everybody on the island is high, and they're all Democrats. And so what that gives you is there's not a lot of entrepreneurial spirit. It's my opinion people in Hawaii are not really interested in making some money. I mean, Christ, they live in Hawaii. I think they wake up and they probably smoke a big doobie, and then they kind of admire nature's beauty, and, you know, they do this and that, maybe put on some Grateful Dead for a while, and then this and that, and then, oh, if the mood strikes them, they might go to work. But I saw several things in the two islands that just seemed a little odd. One thing I noticed was, like, there'll be a sign on a store that says open 10 o'clock, but that doesn't mean they open 10 o'clock. Oh, they might get there 10:30, 10:45. I mean, he will probably get there. The store probably will open before noon. But in Hawaii, they have this thing called Hawaii time. 10:30, 10:45, I'll get there when I get there. And I thought that was a little strange. We saw bars that closed at 8 o'clock. Now, to me, that seemed odd. It's my guess that tourism is the biggest product in Hawaii. I mean, come on, how much can you sell a pineapple for? What's a pineapple? $2? $3? But a tourist is going to spend a lot of money, especially if they're there to spend some money. But a bar closing at 8 o'clock in the evening, it just sounds to me like somebody's favorite TV show comes on at 9, and they're in Hawaii, they just don't care. So they shut down the bar at 8, and they go home, and they're there by 9. And they don't have to mess with all that late night making money. We also saw a restaurant that was open Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. So this is definitely someone who does not want to make money. They also have, now this is not a complaint, it's more of an observation, but part of the effort to keep Hawaii beautiful is they don't allow billboards on the roads. And I'm not a fan of 1,000 billboards everywhere, but, you know, billboards give information. You know, the whole time we were in Hawaii, we didn't take a submarine ride. We didn't get on a boat. We didn't get on a plane besides the planes to get there. You know, they had little sightseeing planes, and they, you know, the helicopters, and they got submarines. You know, they got all, I called the guy. We woke up, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's the only way I know how to talk. We went to Kona. Yeah, we went to Kona. And in Kona, they have submarine rides. Cool. I mean, Christ, trust me, all men are 9 years old at heart. And I'm thinking, the submarine, you know, jeepers, the submarine. I've never been on a submarine before. And I'm thinking, hey, we ought to check into that. So I called the guy, and it says something like, it's, I don't know, $100 a ticket. It was $109 or $89, or, you know, it's kind of expensive, but, you know, it's a submarine ride in Hawaii. And we, you know, we never thought we'd get to Hawaii. And once we're there, you know, hey, the submarine. So I called the guy. Well, there's two of them. I guess they were competing, but I call one guy. It just rings. Come on. It's 10:30 in the morning on a Tuesday, and I'm trying to ride a damn submarine because, like I say, I'm 9 years old. I see a submarine. I want to go. So I call him, and there's no answer. It's like, Negro, please. You have a submarine to pay for. Answer the phone. So I call the other submarine company. And the guy says, submarine company, can I call you back? I'm on the other line. And I'm thinking, well, you idiot. I don't know what a submarine costs. I would guess a lot of money, $500,000. I don't know. They don't sell them at Kmart or Sears, so I don't know what they go for. But they got a submarine to pay for. At $100 per person per hour. And it seems like it held maybe 12 people. It's, you know, it wasn't like a battleship kind of. No, it's this little submarine for 10, 12 people. Everybody got their own window. They're real big on it. Everybody gets their own window. So they make, let's call it $1,200 an hour. So you're talking $10,000 a day. But do they hire someone to answer the phone? No. Wouldn't want to do that. That'd be expensive. And another thing. Oh, before I get done with the submarines, it just kills me. They don't have, like, say, any billboards on the side of the road. If I had seen a sign, submarine rides next right, we have submarines leaving every 30 minutes, we'd have done the submarine ride. But no, it doesn't work that way. You don't know where anything is because there are no signs. We asked this one lady. Remember I mentioned earlier in the print report about the breakfast buffet was all the rice and fish you could eat for breakfast? Yum! So I don't like a whole lot of rice and fish, especially for breakfast. So I asked some guy, dude, where's the McDonald's? And he says, it's kind of hard to find. It's hidden. And I was thinking, why did the McDonald's Corporation buy land and build a $1 million restaurant in a place that you can't find? Why did they do that? It's just hard to believe. So they need, I think, we had the same problem. Remember I told you the first time we went to L.A., the night we saw Richard Pryor, we're driving for hours on the L.A. freeways, and it was the same problem. See, in Oklahoma, they have billboards. In Oklahoma, they'll have a sign that says, need gas? Got a Texaco station a mile ahead. Need a place to stay? Got a Best Western a mile ahead. Hungry? Got a Bob's Big Boy a mile ahead. See, that's what you have in Oklahoma. I hate to say nice things about Oklahoma, but it wouldn't hurt for the strangers driving through town to get a little information. Am I asking too much? So, yeah, in Hawaii, they had no signs at all anywhere except. Now, anyone that's been to Hawaii knows this is true. I'm going to make you laugh out loud if you've ever been to Hawaii. And I don't mean to be one of those, I've been to Hawaii. But in Hawaii, the only signs you see, this is so dumb, but every time you come to a street, they have a sign. The Kalu'ala Alohu Solid Waste Management Facility, next right. That's the only sign you see in the Hawaiian Islands. They label all the solid waste facilities. They label them. That's the only sign you see. You're driving down the street. Here's the Kalu'ala Lohi Solid Waste Treatment Center. And another 2 miles, here's the Kalu'ala Aluhu Solid Waste Treatment Center. It's like, please, can't you give me a sign for a Hardee's or something?
I don't have anything inspirational or anything even funny to say. All I really wanted to do was, for a moment, whine. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand how people can justify the absolute lack of giving a damn about another person. How can you with one hand say, oh, you know, it's not godly to have a man marrying a man, and at the same time go in there and kill 1,600 of our own people, hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis? And it's like, they can't all be damn terrorists. If they were, whenever we dropped the bomb on them, there'd be a really big explosion, not, oh, gee, there's some rubble. I don't know if I can love what America is turning into. My patriotism is about gone. Help me.
Well, I certainly can't explain what's going on, but I can tell you that your instincts are right. This whole country has gone to hell, and it's real hard to figure. As you said, we've got, well, by now, almost 1,700 dead soldiers, but that's okay as long as the president's not having sex, and as long as two men can't get married. We're willing to put up with a never-ending quagmire that's killing I mean, how many thousands of soldiers before it's over? And as long as the president's not having sex and as long as two men can't get married, then it's okay. If there's trillions of dollars missing from the treasury and people can't get work and they lost their insurance and they can't file bankruptcy, it's just impossible to comprehend, but that's exactly what we have. And we live in a nation now where if George Bush doesn't like the way you look, he's got the legal power to throw you in a hole in the ground without ever charging you with a crime for the rest of your life. And I know the right wing will say, oh, he would never do that, but how would we know? They made it a crime to tell people. I heard on Air America today that one of the things they're trying to prevent with this Patriot Act renewal is that if you're arrested but not charged with a crime, how do you prove your innocence? If they don't specify a charge, it's impossible by definition to prove that you didn't do it. They just arrest you and say, you're guilty. And you say, of what? And they say, none of your business. This is America now. This is what Bush has given us. This is what the Republicans have chosen to turn America into. And it's what the Democrats have chosen not to fight. And I could hear the despair in your voice. And I got it, too. Anyone who's paying attention knows the country is in grave danger. Somehow I've got this, not that I'm Clinton-esque, but I've got this ability to take that horror and just put it on a shelf over here. And now and then I look at it and I realize that it's there, but I just refuse to go every minute of every day thinking, oh my God, it's all crumbling. But the truth is that it is all crumbling. No more Constitution, the never-ending war. Bush is stealing $100 million a day just in Iraq. There was $10 billion in that pension security fund when Bush took office. And it's going to be $450 billion in the red, a half a trillion dollars, and it's just gone, and nobody cares. Every 90 days, they give Iraq another $87 billion. Where does that money go? They're not doing anything. Iraq right now has less electricity than it had before we invaded. What are they doing with that money? Everything is just crazy. The whole world hates us. Never-ending death, never-ending recession. A Patriot Act of strangling people? Yeah, we're living in hell, but like I say, sometimes I smoke one, I have a shot of Chinaco, and put on a little Shirley or some U2 or a movie or something, and I just get it out of my mind for a while and come back and fight it again the next day. It's the only thing I know to do. So we're on the beach. First day we're there, first full day. And I don't mean to say it's hot, but it's 88 degrees. And, yes, on the beach, there's some sun. So what they do, they rent to these little tent kind of things for like $20 for half a day. We thought, hey, that's a good deal for 20 bucks. You know, we were there from, 9 to 2, something like that. So we're sitting there, 100% humidity, 88 degrees, a little on the warm side. And I'm thinking, boy, you know what would be great? Would be like a cold beer or, a margarita or a pina colada, something like that. But I'd settle for a bottle of water, a really cold bottle of water. That'd be great. So I'm looking around, like at the ballpark. You're sitting there watching the game. You're concentrating on the game. The guy yells, cold beer. You think, ooh, cold beer, that tastes great. And you get you one. Well, they don't have that in Hawaii. They apparently, and I understand, they don't want to have the beach, one giant commercialism thing on the beach. But is cold water a bad thing to have on a hot beach on a warm afternoon? No, you can't get cold water there. You got to walk a half a mile back to the hotel to get your cold water. And yes, if I had any brains, should I finish that sentence, I would have brought the cold water with me. I guess didn't see any coolers. Don't know if they allow coolers. Maybe they do. Who knows? But the idea, a fella can't get a bottle of water on the beach. It just would be nice. I'm just thinking it would be nice. But no, can't have that. I don't mean to act like it was all bad. It was just something struck me as odd. It's like, gee, we don't do that where we're from. And you do it so different here, and you can't help but compare the two. If they do it better, then, hey, I'll go back to Oklahoma, and I'll change Oklahoma to make it more like Hawaii. But no, it doesn't work that way. When we last left the imprint, we were leaving Hana, headed to Kona. Now, to get to Kona, we had to get on the Hawaiian Airlines, which was okay. Except that in Hawaii, the weather was so nice, they don't have air conditioning. So we're at the airport, waiting to get on the Hawaiian Airlines flight. and I'm sweating like Rush Limbaugh at a civil rights rally. Oh, it was just awful. But I know how to cure that, so I woofed down three or four really cold bottled waters. Oh, they got that cold bottled water at the airport. Oh, it tasted good, too. So finally, we get on the plane. So as we land at Kona, we're thinking, oh, did we make a mistake? Because everywhere you look, it's black lava. It's old, cooled lava. And you're thinking for a second, you think, damn, look, check out the lava. Hey, how about that? But as the plane lands, we notice there's miles and miles and miles of the black lava and rocks that were formerly black lava. And so we rented the car, and we drove towards our hotel and saw lots and lots of black lava. And we're thinking, we went from a tropical jungle to a big rock. So we checked into the Sheraton Kahuahona. We paid for an ocean view room. Not only an ocean view room, a deluxe ocean view room. And we don't know how much we paid for it because we got a package. We got a package, so we don't know exactly what we paid for that particular hotel. But Mrs. Bart, we're in Hawaii. She wants to see the sunset. To me, a sunset is a sunset. Now, there are times, you know, if the clouds are in the right spot, the best time for a sunset is it's a cloudy day and there's a break in the clouds and the sun gets below the clouds and then you look up and the clouds turn that really dark red. Now that to me is a really cool sunset. Sometimes your mountains, you got your trees, you got your lake, you know, that's a sunset. If you're looking at the ocean on the horizon and there's no clouds in the sky and all you have is a ball of fire that you can't look at that's slowly disappearing under the horizon, to me it's not spectacular, but hey, she's in Hawaii, she wants to see the sunset, that's what we're going to do. And I was annoyed, might not be the right word, but it might be, that we had the deluxe ocean view room, but we couldn't see the sunset. So just on a whim, I called the front desk and said, just curious, how much more would it be if we had a room that could see the sunset? And she said, those rooms are $500, sir. And I was thinking, oh, Jesus. You know, and ordinarily I can understand that, but the place was absolutely dead empty. There were more bellboys and porters, or whatever they're called, than there were people in the entire place. I mean, the valet parking? It'll be here in 2 minutes, sir. So anyway, we check into the hotel, had a couple drinks, watched a little TV, long day ahead. This is one of the places that had the internet, so that's where I caught up on a lot of stuff. Sorry to the people who subscribed, and it took me a couple days to turn you on. Next day we wake up, it's our first full day on the Big Island. We jumped in our rented Jeep. We drove north on the highway. They just have the one highway. It goes around in a circle. And we came to the most beautiful beach. I don't remember the name of it. It was just gorgeous. It was just gorgeous. The most beautiful, clean sand. The water is just the most incredible azure, turquoise, kind of beautiful looking. The palm trees swaying in the wind. You know, you just couldn't get a better beach. You could get as good a beach. You couldn't get a better beach. But that was the bad news, because the first beach we saw was just, you couldn't get any better. So as we're driving on the island, every time we see a sign, beach here, we got to turn off and look at this beach. I mean, beach 13 looks a whole lot like beach 12. It just really does. And beach 18 looks a lot like 12 and 13. It's, like I say, once you hit perfectly blue water, great sand, palm trees swaying in the wind, you know, once you've seen 15 of those, the 16th looks kind of the same. I know, I'm a spoiled sport.
Bart, Chicago Jim here. Listen, I was taking a dump the other day, you know, and of course, like I always do when I'm dropping and flushing a turd, I got to thinking about the Bush crime family. And this time I'm getting all worked up about this flushing the Koran down the toilet thing, you know. Of course, I'm sitting on one. It doesn't take a genius to make this connection. But I got to thinking about it. I was watching C-SPAN a few days earlier. I'm watching this guy, this spokesman for the DOD over there, Larry Derrida. He's got, like, this girl's last name, you know. Anyway, he says, this guy, he's perfect for them. He's just like Golem Fleischer. He can stand there and lie to your face while appearing to actually believe what he is saying. And this, of course, is a requirement when you're talking to the press these days. And the press, I'd like to take their balls and put them in a grape press and watch them pop like... Anyway, I'm off the subject here. I know I only got 2 minutes. So, anyway, this guy, Derrida, he's saying, we have no evidence. We've done investigations. There's no evidence that anybody's flushed a Koran down the toilet. And Newsweek should be ashamed, and they've caused riots and death and destruction, which, Of course, normally gets you promoted when you're in the Bush crime family, but this time it's bad press. So he's going on and on about this, and it turns out a couple days later, there actually was evidence for Koran abuse. And when he is asked by the press later, "Dude, what's up with this? Shouldn't you apologize?" He says, "For what?" The guy actually says, "For what?" So it turns out, you know, what he should have said was, "We have no evidence of Koran abuse, of the Koran being flushed down the toilet, thrown against the wall, in the mud, playing a helicopter on it with our dicks, spitting on it, putting menstrual blood on it, and wiping our asses with it." Well, this, of course, is another story. These guys got on Clinton for parsing the language. Can you believe it, Park? Over and out.
So, next day, we take off. We're heading to Hilo. Or is it Hilo? H-I-L-O? I think it's Hilo. So we get over to Hilo, another room with a view of the ocean. But you know what's funny about Hilo? We're back to that thing about the entrepreneurial spirit. All this time we've been in Hawaii, we hadn't been on a helicopter, hadn't been on a boat, hadn't been on a plane, hadn't been on a submarine, we hadn't done anything like that. So I went to the front desk and said, "Lady, what can you do for me with a boat?" And she said, "We don't have any boats in Hilo." And I'm thinking, you know, I'm being punked. I start looking for Ashton Kutcher somewhere, like, "Lady, this is a tourist island, and you got a pretty big city. There's two cities on the big island, Kona and Hilo. And the one on the east side of the island has no boats." She said, "No, to put a boat in the water, you'd need a permit." She looks right at me and says, and I'm saying, "So, lady, buy a permit." They just somehow, they do not want to make the money in Hawaii. Okay, so we drove around, did this and that, all the time looking for some pakalolo. Can't find nothing. What a drag. Hawaii is, for a bunch of high people, they sure do hide it well. Oh, but they did have pizza delivery. And again, with the attitude, they got the funny food in Hawaii. If you go to Hawaii, I mean, I'm a picky eater anyway. I don't, the fish and rice for breakfast, you know. So what we called, we saw a Pizza Hut car go by, so we thought, aha, we'll order some Pizza Hut. So about 8 o'clock, I ordered some pizza. And the lady said, "They'll call you as they're leaving with your pizza." And I said, "Okay, cool." So about 8:45, we get a call. And I'm saying, "Are you here?" And they said, "No, we're calling to verify the order." I'm going, what are you talking about? It's been 45 minutes. And they said, "We just got the order just now. I mean, you call, it's one of those, you call the central number, and then they call." And I'm thinking, 45 minutes. This is how things work in Hawaii. They get to it when they get to it. It's Hawaiian time. So the pizza showed up, whatever, 9:30. It was good. But it's just odd that it, on the islands, they just, you know, if they make money, fine. If they don't, that's fine, too. I just think a Republican could show up in Hawaii and probably clean up. If somebody wanted to wake up early in the morning, work hard, go to bed at the end of the day, hire enough people to answer the phones, pay off them damn submarines, I think somebody can make a lot of money.
Mr. Bart, my name's Gentry Robinson. I'm in Atlanta. Just had to call and tell you that I stole a line of yours on about when the Capitol was evacuated due to the Cessna coming over, how Rush Limbaugh was attacking Hillary Clinton and the press over how she looked with leadership qualities and what have you. I used that line that you had, that what you wanted to do, sit there and read my pet goat in a time of crisis. Well, I got on Rush Limbaugh's show and told him that. I was trying to get you a plug in too, but he hung up on me before that. But I did get on Randy Rhodes' show and told her the story, gave you a plug there. So you're the best. Take care.
All right, Gentry on Air Atlanta.
Randy.
Hello.
I'm all flumped.
I know. It's exciting, isn't it?
We'll talk
get
about
over
the nation. I got to tell you something funny that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's true too.
All right.
Okay. Wednesday, Rush Limbaugh was blasting Hillary.
For what?
I'll read the quote.
Okay.
Because a bunch of the news channels showed Hillary walking out all calm, cool, and collected. Everybody else around her was running for their lives, and Hillary was just taking her time and walking out. Now, the Democrats have started to say, if you've been watching any cable news, paying any attention, you're starting to hear just a little bit of rumbling about this, and it's going to grow louder as the day goes on.
What, that she was calm?
Well, yeah.
That's bad. Hillary, Why don't you get crazy like Nancy and get lifted out of your shoes?
Yeah, he says, we need leadership. Did you see the way Mrs. Clinton calmly and collectively walked out of there?
Well, you know what? Mrs. Clinton, Senator Clinton, has been facing down the nuclear option for a month now. I'm sure she's used to fallout.
Okay, this was Wednesday. Yesterday, I turn him on, and he's blasting her over the same thing. So I call his show, and I get on. And I says, Rush, thanks for taking my call.
Did you say mega dildos, dittos, or something? No. Like whatever you're supposed to say?
Hillbilly heroin.
There you go.
I says, Rush, thanks for taking my call. Just to let you know, you do let liberals on. Because I've been on there a couple other times, too. I says, but you're really upset with Hillary. And I don't understand that. I said, what did you want her to do? Imitate Bush and sit there and read My Pet Goat in a Time of Crisis? Click.
He hung up on you for that.
I got that off Bart Cop.
Oh, Barkov's great.
Oh, he
I love Barkov.
He is something.
Yeah, he's good.
The next day was one of the big ones. It was the highlight of the trip. The reason Mrs. Bart wanted to go to Hawaii, not only is it the Hawaiian Islands, but she wanted to see some lava. And like I say, when we landed in Kona, we saw some lava, but that was old lava. We wanted to see some fresh lava. So we drove to there's a little town in southern Big Island called Volcano. So we drove there, and just after you get through with Volcano, you get the Kilauea Hawaii National Park, whatever it's called. And we had reservations to stay at the Volcano House. Oh, I'm going to have to put some pictures on the website showing you the Volcano House, and I'm going to do that. That'll be in the part three closer. You're getting part two now. We drove around the Volcano Park, and we saw a bunch of the old craters that used to be. They say Mark Twain was there in whatever time period he lived, I guess the late 1800s. And when Mark Twain was there, this giant crater, who knows, mile and a half across maybe, and it looked to be maybe 200 feet deep, Bart guesses. But they said there's a little sign there, you know, those little steel signs that are at the attractions, and they said 100 years ago when Mark Twain was here, this was 400 feet deep, and it was molten lava. Can you imagine what it's like to stand there and look at a mile and a half bowl of lava? How weird that would be, but in the 100 years since, it hardened. But all you see now is wisps of smoke coming out. Apparently, Hawaii is a tropical rainforest, and it rains every 3-4 minutes. You know, it rains from 12 to 12:30, and it rains from 1 to 1:15, and 1:45 to 2:15, and then 3 to 4. It just rains in Hawaii. So this water seeps down into cracks, and it hits the lava, and it steams back to the top. So you're looking at this giant field of which there's no grass or vegetation. It's just a bunch of rock, and it's steaming. So that was kind of cool. So we started asking, how do we see the molten lava? We went to see the molten lava. And they said, well, sure, you just go down there. And they gave us a little map. So we get down there, and they got a sign. And the sign says, you want to see the lava? Sure. It's only a 6-hour walk over 4 miles of hard lava, not fresh lava, cooled lava. And don't know if you've ever seen lava before, but, well, it looks like goop that ran out of a cake or a pizza or something, and it hardens. So it's not like walking on a parking lot. It's like jumping from boulder to boulder. And 4 miles of jumping from boulder to boulder, they said, takes 6 hours. So we kind of took one look at that, but I thought, no, it's 88 degrees, 100% humidity, a 6-hour walk, I just don't know. It just doesn't sound right. And the wind was blowing like a mother bear. It looked as though we were going to have to be disappointed on the molten lava. And I guess the way that works, like with Area 51, you march out there as the sun's setting, and then you're there, and it gets dark, and you see the lava, and then you work your way back. But I don't know, 3 hours of walking on the lava in the dark, I'm just not sure. So we went back to the hotel a little dejected. Here we were. It was our last night on the islands, and we were hoping to see some lava, but, 6 hours, 4 miles, I'm just not sure. So then we asked someone, can you see anything at night? And they said, sure. Don't you hate it when someone acts like, of course you can? So we decided to take a chance. So once it got dark, we drove all the way back there. It wasn't that far. It was probably 30 miles or something. Anyway, so we're coming around this one corner, and I'll be damned. It looked kind of like it was up in the sky. I mean, you can't really tell because you're going, you're twisting and turning left and right. You're going up and down in elevation. You see something, you know, in front of you. You don't know if it's up in the air or below you or whatever, but we just saw an orange strip, kind of like out of nowhere, kind of. Like I say, it was, we couldn't tell if it was in the sky or not, but it was just an orange glowing strip. And I'm thinking, damn, the only thing that could be is hot lava because it's a giant orange glowing thing. So we thought we'd try to get closer and get a better look. So as we're twisting down the mountain, left and right, over the hills and up and down, and all the time working our way closer to the shore because that's where the lava ends up when it hits the water. Anyway, so we come around this one turn, and I'll be damned. The entire southeastern side of Mount Kilauea was full of lava. Oh, we just couldn't believe it. Mrs. Bart let out a squeal. She had never in her life thought she was going to see an entire mountain of oozing lava. I'm trying to think of a way to explain it. It was like there'd be a wave, and then there'd be maybe 50 feet of black, and then there'd be another wave, and there'd be 50 feet of black, and it was all the way down this mountain. We tried to take some pictures. Pictures on the still camera didn't come out at all. I found some pictures of lava that I'm going to put up. This is part two. For part three, it's going to make it on the page. But lo and behold, we came around that corner, and Mrs. Bart got to see just about an entire mountain full of hot lava, and that was really something. We could see it move a little bit, too. I mean, you'd be looking at a little piece of, you know, a little strip of fire, and it would just change a little bit. We could tell it was very slowly moving its way down the mountain. Holy cow. And, of course, when it hits the water, you get your giant steam plume. So there was a orange plume of steam that we could see in the sky, and that was pretty good because the whole time we were there, I knew that what she really wanted to see was some lava. She didn't go there for the hula girls or the beaches, although that was very nice, all that. But she wanted to see some lava. She was very much, you know, that's why we started going west. She was into the, you know, the Grand Canyon, and she wants to see the mountains and the desert. She's really into that nature stuff. She wants to see wolves, wants to see bears, wants to see all those kind of creatures. Me, I just don't have a TV and a shot of Tanako and a remote and a internet connection and this. But she's a little nature girl. So we finally got to see a bunch of lava, more lava than we thought we'd ever see in our lives. So we then went back to our room at the hotel. Oh, and as we looked out of our room, we could see this crater. That was really nice. It was a really, really nice way to end a really nice vacation. I know I did a lot of complaining, and it is funny out there, and sometimes the observations can be humorous, but I'm sure not going to take a free trip to Hawaii and then sit there and complain about it. But if I were to, it would only be to try to entertain.
This is final boarding call.
You've been listening to Bart Cop Radio.
Damn, chief, the spot's getting hot. So I'd have put them, I suppose, to make a...